Welcome to another edition of What Barry's Talking About from Barry 360. I'm Dan Blakely. On this week's program, the Simcoe Muskoka District Health Unit playing catch-up on student immunizations, which took a hit during the pandemic. We get a look at what the summer holds for us, and with summer comes many festivals, a big one this weekend if you like strawberries. But first, summer arrived this week, as you know, and while daylight starts to dwindle, the temperature starts to rise, and it could rise a lot. We're joined by Environment Canada's Chief Climatologist, David Phillips. David, we had 4 days above 30 Celsius through the spring. We normally only get 7 through the entire summer. Does this mean we're in for a hot, hot one?
Well, I would bet a lot of loonies on the fact that we'll have more than average. If average is 7, I mean, but in recent years, my gosh, we've had a lot more than that. I mean, normal is just doesn't exist anymore. You know, everything, our summers have been warmer, they've been longer. We're getting days before summer begins and after summer with 30-degree days. So that figure has really been blown out of the water by what we've seen in recent years. Let me just share one number with you. I was looking this up, and because I was trying to compare what this, you know, we have something called an El Nino. It's emerged. Mm-hmm. Warm water in the Pacific. And so people want to know, well, what does that mean for our weather here? Well, when we talk about winter, I'll be able to go on and on about how our winters will be because of El Nino. We don't know that it has an effect on our summers. But then, you know, you do this kind of trick called an analog, where you look back at the last time we had an El Nino, and what was that summer like, you say? And so when I look back and I thought, well, it's tricky because it's a half a year. It was 2015-2016 was the last good El Nino. And this one is sort of El Nino. And this El Nino is already there. It's moderate. And it really has just started growing. So there's a lot of predictions out there that it's going to be a big one. And that will be will affect our weather in the winter very much so. But in the summer, it's a kind of a touch and go. But in 2015-2016, that 2016, which was the second half of the sort of the summer, it was started off 2015 and then 2016. And it's always the warmth you feel in the second half of that because the oceans need to warm up, the land warms up, and then you're feeling that heat. So in 2016, my gosh, they had 32 days here in Barrie above 30. So very hot, very dry. Now the year before, though, which is maybe more the analog for this year, it was kind of normal. Slightly, I think there were, for example, I think there were like 10 days or 12 days above 30. So my sense is, I think it'll be like last year. I know that it's odd, but it's last year we had, if we look at in the Barrie area, every month was a little warmer than normal. We had in total, we had 11 days that were above 30. And we had about 10% more precipitation. So it's about as ideal as you can get. There was something for everybody. This year, the water temperature is not quite as warm as in Barrie, Lake Simcoe, for example, as it was last year. So we have a little ways to go there. But my sense is that I guarantee my neighbors, my friends in Barrie, everybody will be complaining about the heat, the haze, and the humidity of summer. But it may not be until the dog days of summer, till the end of July and the beginning of August. So summer's not going to be canceled this year, but I think it won't be necessarily memorable. And Dan, I always think that's the best way. You know, it's closer to normal, or it's what you think it should be. You know, when it's a scorcher or friggin' cold, well then, you remember it, you say. And there's something about that that's not very pleasant, you say, no matter what it is.
The thing I've noticed the last few seasons, winter and summer, is we haven't had long stretches of really hot and humid, and we haven't had long stretches of really cold and frigid. Those seem to be shorter than they used to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think it varies on the year you look at. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, and I think those long stretches really wear on people. I mean, yeah, as I always say, you know, I mean, Canadians love the weather to change. Even from good to bad sometimes gives, you know, it's a little bit of a breakup, you say. But you're right, it's those long stretches of, say, very hot and humid conditions. Because that affects people, even fit and athletic people are bothered by that. You get kind of it's almost like we have a short attention span when it comes to weather as Canadians. And so we like it to change. And so you're right. I mean, we get those, and the kind of situations you get those are those very high pressure, large high pressure areas, the Bermuda highs. It's almost like a blocking situation, but just day after day, and then it goes a week, and you typically don't get it longer than 7 or 8 days. But boy, some of the one historic ones have been up to 10 days or longer, and they can occur. It doesn't have to be in the height of July, you know, or it can be sometimes. I remember one as a youngster, the CNE in September was the hottest that people had ever. People were sleeping out, you know, outdoors. Mm-hmm. I mean, CNE was open to allow people to sleep outside, you know. Again, these were some record temperatures in early September. So, you know, it's the season doesn't have to just be the peak of summer. It can be the shoulder seasons too. And I thought April this year was going to be like that. When April went up to 30 degrees, I was bewildered by that. Of course, then after that, we had some snow and frost. So that was really just a freakish moment.
Sometimes you just don't know from one day to the next, do you?
I think there's a lot of that. But it's fun guessing. And to your listeners, if a job in weather, you're always sure of a job because we'll never figure this out.
David, always fun talking to you. We'll look forward to your fall forecast in September.
Well, thank you, Dan. Always a treat to talk to you.
Something to think about this summer? Immunization. Kids' immunizations in particular, which fell by the wayside during the pandemic. The Simcoe Muskoka District Health Unit running a catch-up, keep-up, stay-on-track program this summer. Deanna Thompson is Immunization Program Manager with the Health Unit.
That's right. The last 3 years have been rough on many families to keep up to date with, seeing family physicians and healthcare providers on a regular basis. And one of the pieces then that has been missed is routine immunization. And that's where we at the Simcoe Muskoka District Health Unit are helping families to, you know, get back on track and offering lots of additional immunization clinics for families to be able to book into to get their students up to date over the summer, especially while they're off. So not taking away time from school and other important activities. And so we're really just trying to focus on families getting their children up to date.
And that's the thing every year, right? Coming up to the end of the summer, there's this rush. Oh, I got to get the immunizations done. Or do I have to get them done? Or which ones need to be done?
Right. So we, you know, every year we do look at all of the students in the Simcoe Muskoka area and making sure that all students are up to date based on their age. It is part of our legislation and being part of the Immunization of School Pupils Act. So it is part of our due diligence as a health unit to make sure students are up to date. So we mail letters home to families, or they'll be letters that get sent home in backpacks with students. And it gives the parents an opportunity to look, oh, I've missed that. Or, you know what, we've had these vaccines. And in fact, I just need to report that to the health unit. And I think one of the pieces that families miss is that, you know, they might get an immunization with a healthcare provider, but it's the parent's responsibility to report it to the Simcoe Muskoka District Health Unit or any health unit, in fact, across the province.
And as I recall, you don't need to get immunizations every year. There's a space in between.
Correct. You receive more immunizations in infancy. So as we build the body's immune system and we receive more immunizations. However, once you reach school age, you receive them generally once you enter school and then about 10 years later. And in the grade 7-8 year, because we're doing grade 7s and 8s this year right now for catch up, there are grade 7 vaccines that we offer in school for families.
And I would suspect that if you're not sure how up to date your kids are and you can't find any record of it, that's a pretty good indication you should maybe find out.
That's right. So just, you know, calling in and talking with one of our public health nurses or our other nurses on the phone line, look at what we have on file, maybe provide some suggestions on how you might be able to obtain those records if you've had a healthcare provider in the past and maybe they've left practice. You know, how do you go about getting those records? We don't want to over-immunize. We want to appropriately immunize students to be protected. And then, you know, we'll work with families to get caught up if there is a number of vaccines that need to be received.
Any notion as to how many of these vaccines fell by the wayside over the last 2 or 3 years because of the pandemic, because we were shut in and we didn't get out to the doctor, we didn't get to the health unit, or we just didn't bother?
Locally, within Simcoe and Muskoka, our coverage rates for vaccination for school age, so 4 to 17-year-olds, we were less than 50% in some cohorts. Wow. But with some of our immunization work and surveillance work and, you know, letters being sent home, with the high school students in particular that we've been working with in the spring and we're working with over the summer, you know, our rates have come up significantly. So ultimately, we, you know, 100% coverage rate is ideal, but, you know, we'll know we'll never get to that point, but we certainly strive for it. And we do hope that, you know, by September that high school students will all have been given an opportunity to get caught up and that we'll be pretty close to full coverage.
There were many, many, many discussions during the pandemic about immunization and COVID vaccines and should I, shouldn't I, don't want to, not going to. Have you had a lot of people calling and asking, do I have to get all these other immunizations? Should I? Are they safe?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a common question as a parent. You know, as parents, we need to ask questions. We need to make sure that our children are safe. And what we know is that immunization is by far one of the safest practices. It has is public health's biggest accomplishment in history. And we will work with families. You know, we will share information with them on vaccine safety, where to get that information. And if they're unsure, you know, we have books and we have websites and we have healthcare professionals that they can speak to get the information that they'd like and gain comfort and confidence in the public health and immunization. And we'll work with families over time to, you know, provide the immunizations that they feel best for their student at that time. Now, there are processes, you know, because being in school, it is mandatory to have certain vaccines. However, you know, we will put pieces in place to get students caught up in a process that would work best for that family.
And there are some exceptions to the rule, but not many.
If there's any type of medical reason why your child can't be immunized, we work with our healthcare providers. We can put pieces in place to protect them.
$1 million question. If we don't have a healthcare provider that we go to regularly who looks after these things for us, where can we find out whether we need to and get?
You can call Health Connection at 705-721-7520. You can speak with a nurse on the phone line. Look at what you're due for or overdue for, and we can book you into an appointment at our nearest clinic across Simcoe, Muskoka.
And can people just drop in unannounced, or should they make an appointment?
You definitely need to book an appointment for that, because we do only keep vaccine in certain locations, and we replenish every week based on what is being booked for that week.
And they do that at the health unit's website?
You can go online to our website and book online. You can call into our Health Connection line as well and book that appointment over the phone.
Thanks so much for the update. Very important stuff. We'll hopefully get everybody up to snuff by the end of the summer.
Thank you very much.
What Barry's Talking About is a weekly podcast featuring the best Barry and Simcoe County have to offer and more. We've covered a lot of ground since we began last summer, met Lee Kittijew of Barry, who's making a name for himself and the city in the world of jiu-jitsu, explored the world of wrestling in Barry, and learned how the What Three Words app can help get you found when you've lost your way. You can get caught up and make it easy to keep up in the future by subscribing to What Barry's Talking About through any podcast distributor. Still to come on What Barry's Talking About, with the coming of summer, we get a host of summer events. Couple of big ones this weekend involving strawberries and fish. Now this.
It's cool to care.
It's a well-known fact blood transfusion saves lives. It's also a well-known fact that the world relies on voluntary unpaid donations to fill the need for blood. The need for blood never ends. Canadian Blood Services in Barrie is calling on you to help save a life. Please consider donating today. Appointments are mandatory and must be booked in advance. Book today at blood.ca, through the Give Blood app, or by calling 1-888-2-DONATE.
Cool to Care is brought to you by the Peggy Hill Team. Keeping it real all the way to sold. Reach out now at peggyhill.com.
It's Cool to Care with 107.5 Cool FM.
This is What Barry's Talking About from Barry 360. I'm Dan Blakely. You like strawberries? Barry 360's MJ does. She especially likes the annual Strawberry Festival at Berry Hill Farms, which is this weekend. She got Farmer Morris Gervais, owner of Berry Hill Farms, out of the field long enough to give us a rundown.
We're really excited to be hosting our Strawberry Festival again this year. And, you know, with COVID concerns behind us, it's a much more normal festival and normal strawberry season. So we're going to be having live music both days. There'll be magicians here for the kids. Our Silo Cafe is open, where we've got all kinds of strawberry treats. We've got strawberry paninis. We've got our famous strawberry frozen yogurt. So there's going to be lots of things to do, and it is really exciting because, yeah, school's almost over, and that means when strawberries are here, it means summer's here too. So it's really exciting.
We have a lot of new people are coming into this area, into Simcoe County, in droves. And if they're not really familiar with Berry Hill Farms, you guys are a market, but you're a pick your own. You're sort of everything, right?
Well, yeah, but one of the unique things about our farm is we offer something to pick all season long. So you can come and pick your own fruits and vegetables from May right through until October. We started with asparagus. Our pick-your-own asparagus is finished now that we've moved on to strawberries. But from strawberry picking, we'll have peas, green and yellow beans, raspberries, blueberries, and our strawberry season continues on in August right through till October with our fall strawberries, and then we have apples and pumpkins. So there's something for the family to pick and enjoy fresh from the farm every day from now right through until October.
And one thing about your market, if you guys don't grow it, what I noticed is that you guys always try and source locally if you can, even if, you know, within Ontario, even when it
absolutely
even comes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all Ontario all the time. And so, I mean, we can't grow every crop here at our farm. So some of the other specialty farms that are close by in Ontario are the farms that we support. So all of our carrots and onions and kind of root vegetables are pretty much come from the Holland Marsh. Once we get later into the summer, we bring in cherries and peaches and all kinds of tender fruit from Niagara. So you can be assured that if it's not grown right here on the farm, it's not grown too far away. It's all within Ontario.
And of course, we love our healthy stuff, but you guys also have some of the best snacks. My family actually gets mad if I come back without kettle chips.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? Those are all locally made too. That's one of our great partners, Barry's Asparagus, just outside of Cambridge, and they do some great specialty asparagus products. So we support them. We have a nice asparagus salsa. They do some great kettle chips. We have asparagus tortilla chips. So all kinds of unique local products is, you know, those are the businesses that, you know, we try to support. We count on our customers to support us and support local food. And so we do the same all across the province to other really great local companies.
Going back to the festival, is there pancakes or was that the Blueberry Festival?
No, that's our Pancake Festival fundraiser for Hospice Simcoe that we do the weekend before Kempenfest. Okay. So no, that's not. No, it's more just great strawberry picking, live music, lots of great food, and yes, you know, we've got if people want to go to our website, we've got a really new menu. Like, so for example, we'll have strawberry paninis for the kids, but we also have Belgian waffles with our own fresh strawberry on top. So, and of course, local maple syrup. So it's all local all the time, farm fresh food, and it looks like the weather's going to be fantastic.
If you've not been there, you'll find Berry Hill Farms at 2935 Berry Hill Road in Springwater. Take Carson Road from Bayfield Street, it becomes Seaton Road, and keep going till you hit Berry Hill Road. Something else to do this weekend? Go fishing with the kids. It's the Kempenfelt Rotary Club's Kids Fishing Weekend. Our Ian McLennan gets the details from incoming club president Joni Bell.
What is Kids Fishing Day, and, you know, how do you get involved?
So Kids Fishing Day is a great day for the Kempenfelt Rotary Club to give back to the community. The event is completely free. It's a wonderful time for families to come out and be able to fish right down on the beautiful Barrie waterfront at Heritage Park. So there are lots of events outside of the fishing. There is bouncy castles. We have reptiles. The Cubs and Scouts are going to be there with a booth. There are a lot of other great fun events for families to do in addition to the fishing.
Now, when a family shows up with a child or children, do they register there, or what's the process?
So it's preferred that you register in advance so we know how many kids are coming and we can plan accordingly. We have over 900 kids registered, so this is a big day for us. We're expecting more than 1,200 kids at this event. So you can go online to letsfish.ca and register in advance.
So 900 kids multiplied by how many fish? Will there be that? Are there that many fish in the bay?
Well, there have been a lot of families that catch multiple fish. That's obviously a very great area for fishing, and hopefully they're going to have some luck.
And they can line the entire, I guess, area of Heritage Park. I'm told you have some volunteers there too.
Yes, we do. There's a lot of volunteers there to help assist. Cabela's also really stepped up to the table for us this year, providing fishing rods. We have free bait for everyone. And the volunteers will help those that that aren't familiar with fishing and be able to help support that.
So if you don't have a fishing rod, or there's costs that just aren't, you know, you might have a few fishing rods available then.
That's correct. So we do have fishing rods. If you have your own favorite fishing rod in your tackle box, we always encourage you to bring that down. But for those that don't have a rod, we absolutely have that available, and it's yours to keep.
And age, what is the age limit where you can participate in this?
We say it's for children, so I would say that the kids that are going to enjoy this would be those from junior kindergarten up to about grade six.
Okay. It's not a contest per se, right? It's just a time to enjoy with the family and enjoy the sport.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it's about, is family time and getting people involved in fishing. It's a really great sport, especially if you can do it with your family, but it's certainly not a contest in any way.
And this is another example of the Rotary Club giving back to the community.
Absolutely. This is one of the best events that we have for the entire community. Our entire club gets together. They're bringing their friends and their family down to volunteer on this day. And it's just always been a great event for our club.
And a fishing license, are there any requirements there, though, just in case?
So this particular day, no license is needed, which is why we hold kids fishing on this particular weekend every year.
And that's our program for this week. Thanks to Ian, MJ, and Will for their input, to Matt Ladder for his technical expertise, and to you for listening. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to What Barry's Talking About, rate it, review it. You can also keep up with What Barry's Talking About on Facebook and Twitter at Barry360, on our website, barry360.com, and on our daily Kickstart podcast, available from any streaming service and on our website. I'm Dan Blakely. Hope you'll join us again next week.